From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. I'm with my friend Jody McAllister. Jody, I have not seen you for 40 years, but it's amazing to see you. I know that you're working at Hope Christian School, still involved in ministry. You're doing the grandma thing. You are a wife. You are an amazing mother with your two children and now grandmother. You co-authored a book called Counting It Joy. You describe your life in that book as a journey of joy. Counting It Joy, the McAllister story, is a story of contrast. You talk about little romantic stuff. I was talking about that when we were walking in. A ministry calling that was upon you and your husband, Mark. International intrigue. You know, you guys were smuggling Bibles, espionage, loneliness, and really painful trials and faith through all of that. Ultimately, your story is about you and your late husband, Mark, and your love for one another, your love for Jesus, and your love of your children. The McAllister Four, I think that's the way you called yourself in the book. Mark moved to heaven after 27 years of life together, and we're going to talk about the details of this. So this is really an emotional thing. I'm really grateful that you're willing to share this story. I know you already have in a book form, but I don't think there's a lot of people that might know about the book. So I know it's still available because I picked it up on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And was blessed reading it. But it's a difficult story. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with this. Please tell us about Mark, your love for him, and the reality you lived together for 27 years. Can you frame that for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope it's okay to say that Mark was actually a part of this church.
Oh, absolutely.
Calvary Chapel, Albuquerque. And
Mark was mm-hmm. our first missions pastor. And that's why I say there was espionage, because you guys were smuggling Bibles into China. It was kind of a,
crazy tough
cloak and dagger, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Mark, what a generous man, what a lovely spirit. Mm-hmm. You guys were newly married when I got to know you, so I want you to frame the whole thing.
We met actually on a trip to China, and it was exciting and scary, and I would say on my bucket list in some form. I always wanted to be in missions. I wanted to be involved overseas. And so when this opportunity came up, I jumped on it. I was a part of a church out in Southern California that was all about taking Bibles into China. And so once I graduated from college and came in just at the right time, the right place, I signed up to go. And I think where Mark comes along, and I used the phrase about God tricking me into marriage with Mark. That's probably more a personal little saying that goes to a specific time. But essentially what happened was I had signed up for a trip to China, and I was unable to go. My passport did not come through in time. And so I was postponed for a couple trips down the road, and that turned out to change my world, that my first initial trip was postponed, and I went 2 or 3 months later. I met Mark. He came from this church, from Calvary, Albuquerque, flew out to California and joined our team, and he ended up leading our team. And from the time I met him, and maybe it was partly because my initial trip was postponed, but when I saw him, the Lord just quickened something in me that there was something special about him, or something special was going on that I couldn't have planned.
And it was kind of fun the way you wrote it in the book. You said, I knew God was up to something.
Mm-hmm. He definitely was. He definitely was. And I won't go into that story, but there was definitely all sorts of reasons to know that he was up to something on that trip. It was kind of crazy, but it was also awesome. And Mark and I came home from that trip knowing that we were going to pursue a relationship. Mm. So we did, and, you know, we got married, and but in you asking about just our long life together, we had a lot of awesome, wonderful ministry opportunities that I'm forever thankful for, and he had struggles that were very difficult, and yet God showed up for us too, over and over and over again. And
and Jody, I've read a bunch of things about how to talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to frame that this interview is going to be a contrast between things that you've started talking about and then challenges of mental health. I want to read a quote from your book, if mm-hmm. you'd let me.
Mm-hmm.
You say in the book, despite all the really hard years we experienced together, Mark, I'm glad God gave me the honor of being your wife. I'm glad for all the wonderful, beautiful times when you were well and we enjoyed life and growing together. I'm glad for the extravagant wealth of opportunity we shared in working side by side for his kingdom, talking about smuggling Bibles and sharing the gospel. I'm glad for the Mac 4, your two kids, Levi and Bree, and your precious family. And I'm glad too, Mark, for my heavenly assignment to you, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, as faithfully as I was able while you dwelt on earth. I wasn't always good at it, but God enabled me to finish when I so often felt unable. You taught me so much, Mark, and God taught me so much through you. I will forever be thankful. Thank you, Father, lover of my soul. Thank you, Mark, his gift to me in this journey of joy. And I've been in tears reading your book. I've read it twice. And it's because I don't know you well, but I knew you. And, Mark and I were both on staff together with Calvary. Calvary's 41 years old. And this was, year two.
Mm-hmm.
When we had moved into the Osuna campus, used to be an old indoor tennis club, and there were 8 people on staff. Well, now Calvary has 168 people on staff. I mentioned that to mm-hmm. you. So, it was a little bit more intimate. To be honest with you, a lot of us didn't know what you guys were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kind of have a question about that. Was the romance of traveling to China and getting to know Mark while smuggling Bibles, was that a blast?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just kind of on an aside almost, but many people would agree that have been involved in missions is you go so much more dependent on Holy Spirit and on Him moving you, arranging every single moment and day. And I felt like it was a blast, and it was bonding for all of our team members, but for Mark and I in particular, because we were seeking the Lord like crazy, dependent on Him to protect and guide and, next steps, all of that. So, but it was a blast. It was so, so much fun, but it was serious.
Mm.
Even when you say, was it a blast? It was serious because we were doing something crazy, but we were also all eyes protection on those who we went there to serve.
Yeah.
Their safety was an issue. So all of that.
We're going to get into some things that kind of happened to Mark on a regular cycle regarding his mental health. But before we do that, I wanted to read a couple things that your daughter Bree said about her dad in your book.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a man who truly found joy in the joy of others. He told me as he did with high frequency throughout my life, that being alone anywhere is the worst place to be. Here's the one that gave me tears. Dad tucked me into bed every night and most nights asked if there was anything I wanted to talk about. It seemed like the most normal thing in the world to me, but then I realized he did it because that was the farthest from normal during his childhood. He was always alone and his thoughts. And he wanted to make sure that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. That is really a profound observation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was he alone in his thoughts because he just didn't know what to do with the things that were creeping in on him, the anxiety and the depression?
I would say yes, but I would say it's a little bit bigger. His home life was pretty rough.
Mm.
His dad and mom, his divorced when he was a teenager, pretty, rough time to have that happen. So there was a little bit of both, not a whole lot of parental attention, but then also, this, sometimes I've called it a plague, his mental battles. And so there was depression, there was anxiety, but I do think that, as we know a lot about depression more and more, that does make you feel very alone, just all by itself. So I think that he did battle believing that he was in this with anyone, really. He either had to bear this burden by himself so that he didn't weigh anyone else down, or, just that it was so dark sometimes that I think he didn't know what to do with it, except for to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing the best he could.
Yeah, do the best he could every day. Mm-hmm. How do you hope to encourage others that may be having similar experiences to what you share in your book?
I don't know how anybody does it without Jesus. That's my biggest encouragement, that you have to have your own walk with him, your own pursuit of him, your own welcoming of him into your everyday, and to do it with Jesus, because it's hard. It's a really, really hard one, because you do feel so helpless in of yourself. There isn't much you can do except for love and hug and support to the best of your ability. But even that is, it's kind of one of these things that makes you feel a little bit crazy yourself, because it's not logical, a lot of it. You can't say this does that, this produces that, this is where it starts, this is where it leads. It's not like that. And so it's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
Jesus.
We're talking with Jody McAllister Humbles. Her late husband, Mark, he was first mission pastors at Calvary Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she was part of a lot of the mission trips and doing the ministry. And shortly after they got married, even before, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, Mark was careful. I was kind of surprised by this, but he was careful to tell you about, he didn't know how to describe it, but he would tell you about his anxiety and all. In fact, maybe delayed your engagement a little bit because of that. So we want to talk about that, but it's just an interesting contrast. You've talked about how Jesus is so important to help families through this, but just in the same breath, we need to let everybody know that Mark took his own life after 27 years, and in some ways, I know, for example, taking care of my parents, I would never want my parents to pass. But when you see them suffering, when you see things happening, it's like God prepares your heart and you know that they're going to be at peace with him. And so you say, Lord, maybe it's time. I don't know if that's where you got, but we'll talk about that too in the next segment. We'll be back with Jody McAllister Humbles right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back with Jody McAllister. She is the author of Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story. And, we've all read James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Jody, my prayer many times has been, Lord, I think I have enough character. Can we stop the trials? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so amazed at everything that you went through. And so I want to go back to something that you shared in your book. You do a great job in the book of balancing the joy of life with Mark and the exhaustion of enduring the challenges of his failing mental health. Was Mark open about his fears and concerns about his own anxiety before you were married?
Mm-hmm. Not initially. I think that his hope was that it was all behind him, that he had suffered, that he had done the work, and that it was a done deal. I think even as we dated some, I think there probably were enough flags for him to recognize that maybe I'm not done, you know, with this journey. And I, thankfully, he decided he better share everything with me. And so he did eventually. And that actually explained a lot to me about, you know, some of the struggles that we had even in dating. It was pretty idyllic still. You know, we had a wonderful lead up to marriage and all that. But there were a couple things that I don't know. I was young too. I don't know that I articulated in my own mind enough to ask. But at some point, yes, he decided, I need to say, I had a nervous breakdown. I've had some challenges mentally. He did say, I think I'm good. I mean, we were happy at that time. Uh-huh. And so I think that he was very hopeful that, yeah, that it was past and maybe he might get a little triggered now and then, but I don't think he had any idea that he was still on a pretty rough journey.
Yeah, and so he shared as much as he could,
mm-hmm.
but didn't know, and then it became, you know, I'm always amazed. I'm not criticizing doctors, but I've not had these issues, but I've had like knee operations, mm-hmm. you know, four of them. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I can't tell you that any of those helped me in any way. I think I'd have been still walking like Herman Munster as a 66-year-old as I do today without ever having those surgeries. So I kind of think back about, well, why did I do that? Well, you know, hindsight's 20/20. We don't get to redo those things. And all you can do is be the best that you can be before the Lord. And I'm still, Jody, I mean, when I ask you these questions, does this picture of Mark and the happy times, I know that's great, but are you terrorized by the other part?
Terrorized, no. Saddened, yes. I think I was just sad a lot that he struggled so much. Sometimes it was hard. I mean, there was a season, well, he had a back surgery mm-hmm. late in the game, and that was definitely a factor that led up to him taking his life. But he was on pain meds. You may know with your knees
yes.
about pain meds and how those affect you.
And they're so dangerous.
They're so
because
dangerous.
Because you don't know that they're sneaking up on you and taking control of you. You don't know.
Right. Yes. And that totally happened where he just was even acting very different, you know, than who he was. And so there was scary in that I was like, who is this person? But not, you know, not otherwise, not terrorized, but I just, my heart just hurt so much and battled so much with, you know, even God. God,
yeah.
Hey, we're still here. Where are you?
Can you tell us how you feel about having those conversations with God? Is God offended when we say, God, what are you doing?
Yeah, no.
I mean, don't you think he wants us in those conversations, doesn't he?
Yes. I think the more I was honest with him, the more I was able to just keep pressing in and really knowing that he was with me. You know, I think if I was not honest, I don't know how we would have made it either. But no, I think he appreciates our honesty of heart and just crying out to him and saying those things to him.
You describe the challenges Mark faced with mental health as coming in a cycle
mm-hmm.
about every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And from best I could see, there were probably five, maybe six of those.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those would last quite a long time. You just mentioned later in your relationship that pain was introduced on top of anxiety and depression. And then I can't imagine how those meds, trying to treat that mixed with or didn't with the anti-anxiety medication. And for a large part of this time, you had two babies.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel? Did you feel like the kids needed to be protected from, not that Mark would harm them, but you didn't want them to witness mm-hmm. some of the difficulties he was going through?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ultimately, that is why I wrote the book, is because I was protective of my kids, all their growing up. Of course, you know, we all know and learn that our kids actually observe so much more than we as parents ever want them to. So I don't think my kids were as oblivious as I thought they were. But still, my heart was, and I think Mark's heart was also to cover them, to, you know, let them be kids. And I would say that we did a pretty good job of that, so much so that I think there were times, you know, when my kids were angry, angry at him or angry at us together, just them watching Mark and I grapple with life. And so I didn't want them to go the rest of their lives not really understanding a lot of things that played into his scenario, whether it be his family of origin or, you know, some medical history that his family had. And so there were so many things that I felt like were worthy of presenting first and foremost for my kids.
Yeah.
Yes, we tried to protect them.
I'm going to go totally off our line of questioning, kind of think back to China. What was something beautiful about China you could tell us? Were there architecture? Were there gardens? Were there things like that that you were able to see when you were there?
Sure. I don't know if it was what... It was just the culture in general. Oh, okay. I don't know if it was something, you know, necessarily visual. But it was, I think, realizing anytime, wow, God's world is very big. And it's so much more than, you know, I experience in my little corner of earth.
One of the things you describe in your book is a bike ride that you took with Mark. And You guys really tied together, and yet a like-mindedness about ministering to people in Asia. Mm-hmm. Was there something about the people that attracted you to them?
Well, I can say, let me just speak to Mark's vision for that a little bit. One of his episodes, very first ones, when he was first realizing that he had some depressive things and family stuff going on, he was actually suicidal at that point in time. So I think he must have been like 18, 19.
Oh, wow.
And in that moment of real darkness, the Lord spoke to him and told him to go find a Bible. And he went and he broke into a library. This was before he was really saved. You know, he had a little bit of Jesus.
Broke into a library in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. To find a Bible, because there was not one in his family home.
Wow.
And when he did that, the Lord started really, really talking to him about peoples who had no Bibles, who had no scripture at hand to study, to learn, to... So anyway, that was the thing, you know, that really stirred him to go to China, because it was one of the most persecuted peoples at the time, the most access limited people at the time. And me, I was just missions in general and thought it was way cool to go to China. You know, I was a little more lax about it in some respects. So anyway, but between the two of us, we really did have a deep, deep, deep desire to be out in missions and ministering to people somehow that didn't have really any opportunity to know him.
Maybe this isn't a fair question, not on our list, but I want to know what your mom and dad would have really told you if they'd have known all the stuff you were doing as a young woman. Would they have been nervous about that?
Well, fortunately, my family were believers. So, but my mom was also a worrier. So yes. Yeah. I actually, kudos to my mom at this time, you know, no cell phones, no FaceTime, no texting. I got on an airplane and went to China, and I was out of pocket for close to 3 weeks. And
wow.
I can't imagine me doing that with my kids.
Yeah, that would just scare the heck out of us, wouldn't it? Yeah, just leaving them.
Yeah.
Of course, our kids would probably be scared to death if they didn't have a handheld device in their hand, right?
Right.
And we didn't even know what that was.
No.
In fact, I can remember Skip Heitzig was the first person I knew that had a cell phone.
Oh.
And it was a bag phone that he had in his car. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 months after he got that, he got one of those huge brick phones. Uh-huh. You remember those?
Yes, yes.
And I can only remember, I remember that I was thinking at the time, those have to be radiating your skull like a microwave when you're talking
Surely.
Through one of those things. I guess that would explain a lot, at least what's going on with me. Hey, last question of this segment is, what do you know now about his struggles with mental health that you didn't know when you and Mark were together? Has there been new developments or anything that would help people facing these kinds of things?
I would say one of the big things is that I was told, having attended some psychiatric appointments with Mark back in the day, and doing my own research and reading, that by the year 2020, that mental illness would be the biggest medical or pharmaceutical deal on the planet, that this is rising. Mental illness, which, again, that's pretty devastating, pretty sad stuff. And I also think it's just still as nebulous as ever. I think that all of our bodies are so different. Some things work for some. You know, when you're looking that route to help with medication, and I'm for it. If it works, I'm mm-hmm. for it. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think awareness is a bigger thing. And so we are a little more educated in it, maybe have, you know, more compassion, more, yeah.
Yeah.
Steadfastness in the scenario, but I don't know that the actual scenario has improved that much.
So Jody, and I told you this via text message, via email, that I felt bad because I didn't know any of this mm-hmm. until I read your book. Now, I did know that Mark took his life. I didn't know you guys really, really well, but I didn't know all the stuff that went into it. So, and I want you to feel free about this. I want you to talk to us about how the Christian community, I'm sure there were some people that really came alongside you. You described some of those, some of your friends in the book, but it seems like the church, a lot more people could have come alongside you. So I want to get some ideas from you about that and maybe talk a little bit more detail about some of the cycles that Mark was going through that you describe in your book. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We're with Jody McAllister-Humbles, and we're talking about her late husband, Mark, who took his life after 27 years, and he served the Lord faithfully and was a faithful husband and wanted the best for his children and his wife and their whole family. And I'm just amazed that you're willing to talk about all this, because this makes me choke. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll stay with us. We're back on ABQ Connect. Jody McAllister-Humbles is a wife, mother, grandmother, and author of Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's filled with romance, ministry, international intrigue, espionage, loneliness, painful trials, and faith through all of it. Jody, again, blessed to have read the book. I know a lot of other people would be blessed as well. I bought it on Amazon. Actually, I buy things on Kindle. Mm. And you know why I do is because, especially on the radio, I can highlight something that you said, and then I can print up a report, and then I went back and reread and added and subtracted, and I probably put together a list of questions for you 5 times just because I think it's all important, but in an hour we can't talk about all of it. So I'm really hoping that people will get out and read Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story, mental health issues and these kind of things. What was the most difficult time for you, Jody, in all of this? What was that accentuated by something wonderful that happened and you hope that would continue, and then the contrast was really difficult? How would you characterize that?
I think each cycle brought a disappointment. I think each time we survived and I felt like there was victory in overcoming one cycle, every time Mark and I both thought, okay, that was horrible, but we're done. Because each time we took a new step, we sought a new help, we talked to somebody with a little more insight. And so we were doing our stuff. And so I think there was regular disappointment, to be honest, every time a cycle came. And I didn't understand. I mean, I did my best to understand, but to know that his condition was called cyclothymic, meaning, you know, that we would have these circulating over and over. But we didn't think we should. We didn't think that that would be our story. We thought that we could move beyond it. And so there wasn't a hard time. Mm-hmm. There were over and over hard times, sadly.
Tell me how your children are doing. And I'd frankly like you to brag about them a little bit. I don't know Levi, but I told you right before we started recording today, my daughter was here, graduate of Hope Christian School, and I didn't know this, but Levi the poet used to perform at Hope. That's kind of a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Levi is a poet, and he's a deep thinker, and he's got a huge heart. He's a wonderful son, and he is out touring now, doing what he does. He struggled in different ways than my daughter, Bree, because he was out of the house already. And I think that made a difference. In some ways, it was a blessing. He was a little bit removed from the stress and anxiety that we all were facing together. On the other hand, I think that that also left him feeling some guilt, left him feeling like I wasn't there for Mom, wasn't there for Dad, you know, so often. And so he's sought his, you know, counsel and help post-Mark. And I applaud his pursuit of his own health because, you know, how can it not affect the son? And there were some hard things that I'm sure you read.
Yeah. And Levi and Bree both have a chapter.
Yeah.
The last couple chapters of the book. And one of the things that Levi starts out with in his chapter is no possible way I can describe the dynamics of my dad and me and my mom and my sister in one chapter. Mm-hmm. But then I immediately thought about him being a poet. He has to talk about a lot of stuff in less than a chapter, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if anybody could do it, he did. And both of those chapters were really a blessing. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, he's, you know, I read some quotes from Bree a little bit earlier, and Levi has some similar things to say. He knew his dad was for him, but at the same time, he didn't enjoy what he saw other dads doing, like playing catch or doing other things like that. So, Mark was doing the best he can. You were doing the best you could do. Do you feel like you protected them and God ultimately protected them the way you wanted him to?
I think so, in that we all know that with the passing of time, even though I don't think it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not the time element per se, but I do know that both of them have grown so much. They've learned so much. They've reconciled so much. And I'm so thankful for that. I feel like redemption has happened in their lives. Their perspective of their dad now, as they've, you know, apart 10, 15 years, 20 years, even as, you know, they were old enough to understand some things that were going on, they are able to see things more holistically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they love their dad. And so, I would say that's a long time coming answer in some ways, but I'm so blessed that the Lord has worked something in both of them.
Yeah. Jody, how are you doing?
I am good. I have seen the Lord do things over and over and over again. I can still say I'm real sad. I'm real sad because I sometimes feel like if I have a struggle, it's, wow, God, look at how awesome you have been to Levi and Bree and me. Oh, but I don't know that you were so awesome to Mark, you know? So there's still a struggle. There's still a struggle sometimes, but it's a sadness. And as you said at the beginning, I know where he is. I know the peace he has now. I know the joy he has now. And so it is all good, but it's not sometimes without its, you know, intrusive thoughts that just I have to deal with.
Jody, God has brought you another husband, Greg Humbles. Mm-hmm. And tell me how Greg obviously knew all of this before you got married, probably expected Jody Mack is going to tell everybody about this because she wants everybody to be helped and encouraged. So how's he doing with all of this?
Mm-hmm. He, you know what? He is good too. He lost his wife as well before we were married. Also, nothing like my story, but a long-term 12-year cancer dealt that hand. And so he and I actually have a lot in common in the struggle, in the, you know, having to go through it all. So he's good. I had him read my book because he did have a lot of questions when we met. Sure. And he had people who were warning him maybe that it was scary to get involved with me because of what repercussions I might be carrying. So we dealt with all that early on. We just went over it all. He read my book. He's not in the dark about anything, and he's good.
Jody, you think Christians sometimes don't talk about real life, and that's a problem?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The more we can share and be real with each other, the better. And I'm thankful that we're able to come alongside one another once we have been through hard things, you know, and that sometimes opens doors for other people to be more real. So, you know, God can work all that.
So the word says that the testing of your faith through these trials produces patience. Another translation says endurance. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have more patience? Do you feel like you have endurance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think I have such a heart now, and I'm thankful for the opportunities that God gives me to speak into lives of, I would say, mostly other women who are walking in my shoes these days that have reached out, and I'm able to say, you can do this. You and Jesus, you can do this, you know, but it's hard. And and my heart is for those who are doing it.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about being a grandmother.
Okay.
Because I personally think grandparenting is the best. Jody McAllister Humbles in studio. She is the author of a book called Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story. It's an amazing book. Contrasts a lot of joyful things with some difficult mental health things that her late husband, Mark, was going through, and contrasting the joy and the difficulty and the joy and the difficulty, but being faithful throughout all of that. And it's an amazing read. I think you'll be encouraged. It won't make you happy. But it will encourage you. And I don't know if I can describe why that is, but I'm encouraged today, and I read it twice. So we'll be back with Jody McAllister right after these messages. We are back with Jody McAllister Humbles. She's the author of a book called Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story. McAllister story is amazing. Mark McAllister was the first missions pastor at Calvary Church. An absolute gentleman, adventurer, like his wife, Jody, went to China, was smuggling Bibles in, was talking about doing that in other places, meeting people in Hong Kong, figure out strategies for getting in the country. I mean, this is all cloak and dagger stuff, Jody. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like it. Let me ask you about, you have how many grandchildren now?
I have four, and my husband has four. So together.
So you got eight.
Yep.
Well, I want to know about that. How are you enjoying being a grandparent?
It's just the most awesome thing. Yeah, you know, those little people have brought me so much joy. And to just hear them talk and to watch them and be with them, I get to do grandma duty at least one day a week. And it's my highest, you know, joy these days to just be with them and watch them.
Yeah, I'm told various things by my twin granddaughters that are here in Albuquerque. I have granddaughters also in North Carolina and San Diego, but my twin granddaughters that are here, and we're about to have two more.
Ooh.
Not twins, but we don't know what they are. They inform me about different things. Like they parrot things that their parents say to them. Mm-hmm. So I hope their parents won't be mad at me, but I'm going to tell you one that I thought was funny. So I want the girls to take a nap in the afternoon, and I watch them, you know, one day a week, sometimes two. And I want to take a nap. Well, they don't like taking naps.
No.
So my granddaughter Sutton looks at me and says, "Grandpa, Papa Jim, you're making me nuts."
Oh.
So I know that somebody's been saying that to her, and she just parrots it right back to me. So
yeah
I can't imagine. And is it fun to see, like Bree has the kind of parent she has become?
Yes. You know, there's always something about, oh yeah, you told me that, Mom. You know, once they get to be moms themselves and all of that. But yeah, she's such a sweet, good, loving mama. And, you know, she's got her hands full with four under six.
Yeah.
But she's doing a wonderful job. I'm proud of her.
Jody, if you contrast the things that you and Mark faced together, and you were married for 27 years, you are very honest and very clear about how Mark took his life, the stress that put on you guys from the time he let you know he was leaving to when you found him, et cetera. And these are things I don't really want to talk about on the radio because I think they're things that people need to read. Mm-hmm. Because I know you were praying through all of that. I know you were trusting God through all of that. But in some ways, I don't understand how you did that. And here's a question that I have. There are many people today that are ending marriages over things that, compared to what you faced, are minimal. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Why are people giving up and not working through a lot of the kinds of things that you and Mark work through?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lack of commitment, for one. I don't know that commitment means what it used to mean. Mm. I just
was that exemplified by your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yep. They were committed. I heard a phrase that a lot of breakdown in a lot of either relationship or life is that character doesn't always match the assignment that God gives. And if we believe that we were created to be with Him and to do what He's assigned us to do on earth for His glory and for our joy, then we don't give up. And we also do all the work, not that we're saved by works, but we do the work to be who He wants us to be. And I think we are as close to Jesus as we want to be.
Yeah.
It depends on us, some of that.
I've asked people many times about, I've always enjoyed weightlifting and working out. Mm-hmm. So we understand what an hour in the gym is going to result in.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't equate an hour in church. When I say church, I don't mean the building. Right. I mean with people that we're loving and we're cherishing. And that leads me to another question. What could the church have done better to help you and Mark?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, given the fact that I don't know that they knew a whole lot. Mm. Again, Mark was not reticent to open up and share when people would approach him or it was, you know, appropriate.
Sure.
But there was a whole lot of stuff, again, that most people didn't know. But I think in general, I just think that coming alongside, being there, sitting with, listening, loving, it's not a whole lot of doing, but it's being there, I think, that makes a huge difference. And so maybe that, you know, maybe just, and you know, more and more as I hear these days, I think it's wonderful. A lot of churches have formulated support groups, for lack of a better word,
sure,
for those who are struggling with mental health issues, because it's so crucial for them to know they're not alone. And that's what it does to you, from what I remember Mark being.
Would you have thought yourself a caregiver through most of this?
Somewhat a caregiver, but I know that I didn't want to present it in that fashion or be that, because I know that Mark didn't want to be a burden.
Right.
And that's part of the whole issue too. Yeah. So I wanted to be his wife. I didn't want to be a caregiver nor make it look that way, but sometimes I definitely was, you know. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, you were courageous. You fought through all of this, and I think that our listeners are going to be blessed to read your book. It's called Counting It Joy. The McAllister story, again, filled with romance, a lot of ministry cool stuff. I say international intrigue, because you'd meet in one country and try to figure out how to get Bibles into this country. There was loneliness, and there were very, very painful trials. And then through all of that, you contrast those good and the bad, there was still faith. And sometimes that faith was crying, and sometimes that faith was laughing, and amazing things. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
We're all blessed, and look forward to having you on the program again sometime. Thanks.
That'd be great. Thank you.